Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kelly, your host. As promised, our good friend Scott Wieman here with us for this hour. I say he's our good friend, but he moved away from us. We always liked having him around. It was nice having him here in San Diego with us, and he moved back to the United States, and we miss him. if you want to talk with Scott about addiction and recovery, your own, your family's, or anyone else's or if you just have general questions about the Catholic view of addiction and recovery, Scott's the man to talk to. 888-318-7884 is the number to call. 888-318-7884. Scott is the founder of Catholic in Recovery, growing. As a matter of fact, let's find out about how much it's growing, because each time there's more. I don't even want to try to give a number. Scott Wieman, thanks for being here with us.
It's a pleasure to be here. And I do more not being right next to you in studio, but I'm grateful that we can connect this way. And yeah,
I'm glad
life
too.
Is good here in the middle of the country.
But I thought you'd have more of a twang in your accent.
give me a couple more appearances, and you'll notice something.
All right. Well, maybe just give us the basics on Catholic in Recovery, because I know still many people don't know that this wonderful apostolate is growing in the U.S. and around the world. What you do and how the growing is going.
Yeah, it was Catholic in Recovery. Was founded back in 2016 or 17. Really started from my own addiction recovery experience. I spent several years of my young adult life and really in the darkness, in the grip of addiction. You know, each day promising myself that tomorrow would be different, but always reaching for alcohol, drugs on a daily and consistent basis. Other addictions as well, lustful behaviors, and really anything that brings power, pleasure, honor, or wealth, and would long for that, seek that many times in place of a spiritual solution or in place of God. So getting sober through 12-step addiction recovery was the greatest gift of my life. It brought me to a relationship with God and brought me back to the Catholic Church. And several years into that, I saw that that the church, we could learn from some of the principles of and fellowship of 12-step recovery groups, and also recognize that there were many people in addiction recovery who were longing for a deeper relationship with their higher power, even either coming back to the faith of their youth or coming to the Catholic Church for the first time. So what began as a blog website turned into a fellowship that now expands throughout the United States into Canada, Mexico, and we have people who participate in virtual meetings throughout the world, all continents other than Antarctica, from what I'm aware. We've got about 110 or 15 in-person Catholic in Recovery groups throughout the country, throughout North America, and on a daily basis or a weekly basis, about 50 virtual meetings that serve people with a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments. So including alcoholism, drug addiction, compulsive overeating, restricted eating, gambling, lust and pornography addiction, technology, codependency, the family impact of addiction, you name it, we have a solution.
If you want to talk with Scott, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. All in English language, has anyone started groups in other languages?
That's a great question. We do have a few Spanish-speaking groups. We've adapted some of our resources. Each week we have our meetings refer to a weekly meeting reflection, which ties together scripture from the upcoming Sunday's Mass readings with recovery principles and liturgical themes. Those are translated into Spanish each week. We have a couple of meetings in person that take place in Spanish, a weekly virtual meeting that takes place in Spanish, and a meeting in Ensenada, Mexico, where they're all Spanish-speaking.
Oh, very cool. Mm-hmm. Not too far from us down there in Ensenada. Yep. We got to chat just for a quick second before the show began, and you were telling me you're focusing on building a foundation for recovery. What does that mean, that building a foundation for recovery?
Yeah, well, we find that a lot of people seek Catholic in recovery. Well, we get people who are brand new to recovery, people who have tried recovery before, maybe are coming back to try to get sober, abstinent, clean, balanced, however one might define that per their program. And then plenty of people, who have long time been in recovery groups, have been sober or clean from an addiction or compulsion for quite some time, or a couple months or years, and wanting to blend their Catholic faith. But you know, a lot of those people who are coming, kind of getting their recovery started, are often seeking some direction, some guidance on, what do I do? What is it going to take? I think maybe embedded within that is like, what's the minimum that I need to do in order to get sober? And the answer really is, it's a lifelong process, and full surrender is really what it takes. But we've developed a 90-day, and it's really encouraged throughout various recovery groups to attend 90 meetings in your first 90 days to build a strong foundation for recovery, which is a commitment. But I assure you that if we approach our recovery from addiction with half the zeal that we approached our addictive behaviors or substances, that God will take really good care of us. And so, yeah, we try to roadmap or a pathway to recovery for those who are new to recovery, you know, including some daily habits that one can maintain and begin to practice, and then diving into some of the really getting deeper into some of those things and getting into the nuance of recovery from various addictions that I just laid out. And so building a foundation, and this was impressed upon me early on in recovery. You know, there was a day, October of 2011, when I walked into a 12-step recovery meeting, and actually, you know, I heard the laughter coming from upstairs. It was the second floor of an Episcopal church in Pacific Beach, and I heard laughter. And I thought, I've got to be in the wrong place. If these people have any idea what I'm going through, there's no reason they should be laughing. And found my way into the back corner of that meeting. And afterwards, a man darted across the room. He looked me in the eye and said, I know exactly how you feel. You don't ever have to drink again. And he really helped walk me through the building a foundation for recovery, which was rooted not only in, you know, 12-step recovery principles and wisdom and literature. The Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous has been and is a really important part of my spiritual growth, and also referring to the Bible at the same time. In fact, there was one day where probably a week or two into our recovery where he was, you know, we would be cross-referencing these two life-saving books. He held up the Bible and said, this book is for people who don't want to go to hell. And the Big Book, and said, this is for people who have been there and have no interest in ever going back. And so we, you know, really blending the principles of 12-step addiction recovery with the sacramental life of the church has been foundational for many to either begin their recovery, rely upon God and Jesus Christ, and lean into the sacraments, and find freedom and healing.
Praise God. The number here is 888-318-7884. If you'd like to talk about your own situation, if you'd like to talk in a general way about recovery and the Catholic perspective on it, or about Catholic in Recovery, which you can find, of course, at CatholicInRecovery.com. I'll just mention, too, that at CatholicInRecovery.com, you can also find the Catholic in Recovery workbook, A Guide to the 12 Steps, which many, many people have found helpful, and it's just worth knowing and that it's there. 888-318-7884 is the number here, 888-318-7884. Scott, I'll just ask you one question, and then I'll go to the phones and let people talk to you. Well, actually, I'll ask you one question. We'll take a break, and then we'll go to the phones, because I can see that we're going to have to go to a break. But is it common, or when people endeavor to come into a program and recover, let me put it this way. I won't ask it that way. I'll ask it this way. How should we think about relapse? I mean, from the perspective of those who care for people, but also from the perspective of people who might fall into relapse, how do you think about that?
That's a really good question, and something that many people face. I think so. In my experience, in my experience of working with others, relapse happens. It often, you know, just like recovery is a process, relapse is also a process. It often doesn't just happen overnight. But what happens, whether it's alcohol, drugs, food, or lust, or other addictions, it's almost as if when we relapse or we re-engage in the substance to which we have an addiction or a compulsion, which our addictions manifest physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually, it's like the mental obsession of that comes back. And that is a cunning, baffling, and powerful force. And so it's relapse needs to be taken absolutely seriously. And, you know, the sooner that we can get back into the things that helped us get sober, attending meetings, connecting with others, our sponsor, being brutally honest with those in our recovery program and those in our lives who really deserve that honesty, as well as, you know, developing basic habits. Humility can often come from relapse, but on the flip side of that, so can this sense of, you know, our ego can get reignited as well. And so this, like, you know, defenses, this justification for wrong behaviors, that can all come back as well. And so, you know, relapse is nothing to scoff at. It's something that needs to be taken very seriously. Although, you know, for many, you know, a relapse might be the thing that kind of reignites humility as well and reinforces our dependence upon God and our fellows.
888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll talk more with Scott Wieman. Actually, we'll go right to calls when we come back. Catholic in Recovery is the organization. You can go to catholicinrecovery.com if you'd like to know more about it. But if you have questions about the Catholic, by the way, you don't have to be Catholic to call. Anybody can call. Mm-hmm. If you have questions about addiction and recovery, Scott's happy to talk with you. 888-318-7884.
Stay with us for more Catholic Answers Live.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Magnificat. Published monthly, Magnificat features texts of daily mass, prayers, articles, meditations, art commentaries, and more, in step with the liturgical rhythm of the Church, on the web at Magnificat.com.
EWTN has its own official YouTube channel with tens of thousands of videos covering just about every conceivable topic of interest to Catholics. And best of all, it's free. Every day, EWTN adds new TV shows, live events, devotionals, homilies, and specials to its YouTube channel. Visit the EWTN YouTube channel today. EWTN, the Global Catholic Network.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I think Scott Wieman might be, I'm not sure, but I think he might be one of those Californians who leaves California and finds out that you don't have to work 70% of your time to pay your rent. is that one of the reasons why you're not here anymore?
Yeah, that does have a positive impact.
It's expensive here.
It is expensive in San Diego.
Someone made fun of me because I was in Kansas and I took a picture of the gas station because the gas price was so low. They were like, "What? That's just the gas price." I was like, "Yeah, try paying $2.50 more than that. That's what California prices are like." And you've got how many kids you got now, Scott?
Three kids.
Yeah.
They're 5, 3, and 2. In fact, our little girl Annalie is celebrating her 3-year baptism birthday today, which we do our best to honor and celebrate. So,
beautiful.
Just to keep the sacraments active in our kids' lives. They all have summer birthdays, so they'll be 6, 4, and 3 in a matter of months.
Again, the number is 888-318-7884. You want to talk about addiction and recovery, whatever the addiction might be. Whatever the question might be, you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. Let's get right to the phones. Chuck is in New Jersey listening to EWTN on Channel 130, Sirius XM Satellite Radio. Chuck, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Scott Wieman.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Scott, I'm curious. It's the first time it's happened in our family. We have a very large family. Just an example, we have 45 first cousins. And so at celebrations, family gatherings, we do drink. One of the adult family members has come out and said that they have a drinking problem and they're now seeking assistance and they haven't had a drink for 2.5 years. And they're actually sponsoring a social gathering for the family. And they said, you know, it's BYOB if you have to. And so a lot of the family members are talking with each other, since we do drink socially at these events, to say, what should we do? What should we not do? Because a number of us do have alcoholic friends who do go out with us, you know, and they're fine if we have a glass of wine and they don't partake. So can you give me any suggestions or what to say to other family members in that event?
That's a great question. And I think just a real, like a real life, something that's going to happen in families where someone is trying to get sober, seeking recovery. I can share from my experience, which growing up in a family where, I grew up in Northeast Wisconsin, and talking to folks there about alcoholism is like talking to a fish about water at times. It's just a very common part of the culture. And, you know, my family life was no different. So there was, and I got sober in October. I remember going home. I had moved to San Diego. A year later, I was blessed to find sobriety, which was helpful in some ways to be a little bit kind of distant from that. But I was also longing for, to see my family and loved ones. So, Christmas was still the same kind of, social lubricant of alcohol throughout. But there were some moments, too, especially in my nuclear family, where, people were who would have been drinking. People weren't drinking. Now, I was I like the way that it was posed as well, if you have to, because we can't certainly demand the change of behavior from other people. It sounds like a very healthy way to approach that. But I do recall, though, there was a time where that same weekend, maybe 2 months, 2.5 months sober, I gathered with a few of my friends who were hosting a gathering. And it took me about an hour to realize that there wasn't any drinking taking place. And I think that was a deliberate thing that they had decided. And I really didn't actually demand that people would go out of their way to change their behavior for me. That almost made me feel a little bit more awkward than now. I wasn't expecting people to be like raging drinking at that time either. And I have my own boundaries. So, making phone calls to my sponsor and people in my recovery program who I could just check in with on a regular basis, getting to meetings while I was traveling. I'm sure that, during these times, we do what we can to really bolster our recovery and strengthen our foundation. But I realized that, no one's drinking, and they're probably doing that on, because they want to be supportive of me. And that was a gesture that went a long way. But, I think that just having the conversation really is a healthy way for a family to deal with this, to recognize that, maybe the temptation could be increased if they, if our loved one sees us all, kind of drinking freely without consequence and they're not able to. But I might also think that, they probably have their own limits and their own boundaries. Now, if they're hosting the party, I think as a good guest, doing what you can to appeal to their needs would be very helpful and probably a great sign of support and encouragement for them.
Right. And we've been supporting the person for 2.5 years now, which has been great. And it's always mm-hmm. been without drinking, but the fact that they are having the social gathering for family, and which we're proud of that person. And so we just don't know, should we take something to drink or not drink, or how should we talk to each other about it without the person knowing? I mean, is it okay to do it based on your experience, to bring a bottle of wine and drink it and maybe a glass that looks like all the other cups or something?
I think that is, as I'm thinking about this, the way that it was phrased pretty deliberately with the, the if you have to is probably how I would phrase that as well. I would say, bring a drink, bring something to drink if you have to. But if you don't have to, it might be beneficial for all involved to have an evening sober.
Okay, Chuck.
Yeah, so in the future, I mean, only because they already prefaced it, all of us have friends that are alcoholics that we go out with. It's just they may have been alcoholics for a long time, I guess. And at some mm-hmm. point, maybe that person won't say if you have to, maybe 5 years or 10. I mean, I don't know. We're just uncomfortable and don't know what to do.
Yeah, I get that. And too, I mean, I kind of in a place now, or many people who have been sober for some time, in a place where we can, we can be around drinking without it being a problem or a big temptation. And in fact, I kind of hold that stance where if like people are going out of their way to not drink in front of me, then, I'm pretty solid in my own recovery. I attend recovery meetings very regularly. I connect with other people. Like, I know what the consequences of a drink will do for me. It will ignite that mental obsession and physical craving anything for it that is, will destroy everything that is good in my life. Everything that's good in my life, my relationship with God, my relationship with Jesus Christ, my family, my wife and kids, those things are all fruits of my recovery and sobriety. And those will be long gone within short time if I pick up a drink. And so, and our literature refers to, we can go anywhere in the world nearly, and, we can't just isolate or seclude ourselves from alcohol. We've got to learn how to be able to adapt to and, have our own healthy boundaries around it. So a very appropriate question. I think that your experience, and everyone's going to be different as well. So providing a blanket answer here is a little bit tough. But again, that's, my experience and some of the experience of others that might be helpful.
Chuck, thank you so much for getting us started with the questions. The number is 888-318-7884. Scott Wieman, founder of Catholic in Recovery, is our guest. If you'd like to talk about recovery, if you'd like to talk about addiction, you are welcome to call 888-318-7884. A caller didn't stay on the line, but I want to read this question to you. And it comes from Massachusetts. Do you have services for the family of someone who is struggling through alcohol addiction?
Yeah, good question. And yes, we do. In fact, most of the time, the first person to reach out for help in a situation is usually a concerned family member, whereas they recognize the insanity and may have stepped out of denial before the person who is active in their alcoholism or addiction might. And so, and we also recognize that alcoholism and addiction is a family spiritual disease. And so the whole family really needs to find some help, find some recovery, and how that manifests is within a family is that if it's not just the identified patient who is the one that struggles, and whether it's a husband or a wife or a son, daughter, a sibling, or a parent, that, oftentimes alcohol shifts people's roles within the family. And a lot of times the family, the sick family, which it's hard to recognize that we're sick, but truly, Jesus says, I've come to heal the sick, it's the sick who need a doctor, not those who are well. And so our divine physician has plans for recovery for all of us. And, there are great 12-step programs. Al-Anon is a secular 12-step recovery program. Catholic in Recovery has family and friends recovery meetings available both in person and in a virtual setting a few times a week. We even have groups for spouses impacted by a loved one's lust addiction, whereas the betrayal trauma of that can be very challenging. And actually, if we're really honest with ourselves, we'll find that most of the social concerns that we deal with within the church or within our culture at large, at the heart and the root of it is some kind of an addiction. Family challenges, family separation and divorce, homelessness, poverty, violence, domestic violence. These are all things, even if we look at like abortion and some of the underpinnings of that, there's a lot of mental health challenges. There are most often, they often relate to some form of addiction. So it's certainly not just the individual who's struggling with the addiction that needs help. Because oftentimes, too, if the family doesn't get help, but the individual does, then they might be returning to a family system which is still sick and in some ways has almost adapted itself to need that patient in the family to be focusing on. Because once the sick person gets well, then a lot of efforts within the family often turn, are like focused on fixing that person. Codependency, which I know is a strong word and has maybe been misused a little bit, but is a real thing. Like needing some kind of project or someone to improve or fix, those are attitudes and subtle behaviors that can carry with us even without addiction. And this happens a lot of times too with adult children of alcoholics. A child who's raised in an alcoholic home who learns some adaptation skills on how to keep themselves protected within an alcoholic family, when they grow up and they begin a family of themselves or start adult relationships, they're often really, kind of their mode of operation is rooted in that, mistrust and independence and making it hard to depend upon people. So sometimes we see the effects of family, this family spiritual disease of addiction manifesting later on in one's life. We have help for all of that. We can help with all that.
And if someone were to go to CatholicInRecovery.com and they would be able to find something for family members?
Yeah, our virtual meeting schedule has a variety of meetings. It lays out the daily, the weekly meetings. On Wednesdays and Fridays, we have meetings for family and friends impacted by a loved one's addiction. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there might even be one going on like right now. And then on Fridays as well. And yes, other in-person meetings. You'll also find a variety of articles that are related to the, you know, how family members can begin to approach addiction within the family. And a resource that we've just put together, the our CIR Pathways to Recovery, which is included in our really our resource membership, that will walk you through the same 90-day foundation for recovery, whether it's your own addiction or the addiction of a loved one. You know, one of the things as family members that we can do is to become educated on addiction, and because a lot of what we know about addiction is rooted in a lot of myth, and so we can come to uncover some of those myths with truth and find recovery ourselves. Even if the person who's addicted or struggling with alcoholism doesn't find recovery, we can still find recovery and find freedom from the insanity of addiction.
I'm going to give out the number again. There's more callers on the line, and we'll get to you as soon as we get back from this break, but we have to take this break. This is a no-choice one. Scott Wieman is our guest, the founder of Catholic in Recovery. We're talking about recovery, addiction. You want to mix the Catholic faith in there in your question, you're welcome to do that, but you don't have to be Catholic to call. Jesus is a healer. He loves everybody, and he wants us healed of our addictions, our obsessions, our destructive habits, and Scott's here to help. 888-318-7884. This year, the Catholic Answers Conference turns to the parables, sermons, and conversations of Jesus Christ. Join special guests Scott and Kimberly Hahn, Dr. Ray Guarendi, and an all-star lineup of speakers September 26th through 29th. Spend time with your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and our special guests right here in beautiful San Diego. Seats are still available, but going fast. Use promo code EARLY to save $50 and register today at CatholicAnswersConference.com.
When it comes to Catholic teachings about Mary, there's one question we hear more than any other. Where is that in the Bible? The answer? Everywhere. In Bible Mary, the Mother of Jesus and the Word of God, Father John Weiss opens Scripture to reveal a Mary who has been hiding in plain sight. Order your copy of Bible Mary today at shop.catholic.com or ask for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
When the resurrected Jesus appeared to disciples on the road to Emmaus, they didn't recognize him until the breaking of the bread. The same is true today. In the Holy Eucharist, we really meet Jesus. In The Eucharist is Really Jesus, author Joe Heschmeyer explains how knowing Jesus in the Eucharist is the key to understanding all of Christian faith. Order your copy of The Eucharist is Really Jesus today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore.
If you're not a Bible scholar, the full message of how the Sunday Mass readings fit together can be tough to comprehend. Apologist Carlo Broussard is here to help. Join Carlo every Friday for the Sunday Catholic Word Podcast. In each episode, he unpacks the scripture readings for that Sunday and brings them all together so you can better understand and defend the faith. Visit SundayCatholicWord.com to subscribe. That's SundayCatholicWord.com.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Scott Wieman is our guest. We'll get right back to the phones. We're talking about addiction and recovery from a Catholic perspective, but certainly not limited to Catholic people. Addiction, I would venture to say every demographic group has struggles with addiction and recovery. I would bet every demographic group in the history of humanity, I think this is a universal part of the human experience. So if you're a human being and it's something you'd like to talk about, we'd love to talk with you about it. 888-318-7884. Just real quick before I go back to the phones, if you buy a 20 Answers book right now, and these are 20 Answers books where you get 20 answers from Catholic Answers on a topic, maybe 20 answers on baptism or 20 answers on divorce or 20 answers on Seventh-day Adventism or a whole bunch of other things. I mean, dozens and dozens and dozens of these books. When you buy one, you can pick one free right now at shop.catholic.com. Head over to shop.catholic.com, buy one and get one free when you buy a 20 Answers book right now. All right, let's go to Portland, Oregon, where Lee is listening on KBVM Radio. Lee, welcome. Go ahead with your question for Scott.
Thank you. I work professionally in the mainstream addict kind of world, but I had a relative go to one of the Catholic in Recovery retreats for a non-mainstream kind of addiction. And I just am uncomfortable asking that person, you know, what did you get out of it in terms of an addiction recovery assistance? And so I'm wondering if you could kind of fill me in on what someone would get out of a who's in a non-traditional kind of, not alcoholism and not drugs, you know, addiction, coming to one of your retreats.
Oh, thank you, Lee.
Lee, are you comfortable sharing what the addiction is?
Well, you know, I can think of several that are not traditional. The one of
lust addiction, food addiction,
pornography.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You know, the pornography. Yeah. Just take that one for an example. But you're right.
All right.
But we focus on the mainstream ones, and I know how those function and what to look for and what to expect. But I don't know what to expect in this non-mainstream addiction for someone who's been to one of these retreats.
Yeah. I was at that retreat in Portland, Oregon, in Beaverton, Oregon. And by the way, we have a variety of retreats upcoming over the next few months, which I'll encourage listeners to check out, a transformational experience. And I think, I imagine that what they found is that their addiction experience actually is a little bit more mainstream than they may have thought. You know, before the break, we were talking about myths related to addiction. And one of those myths is that we believe that we're unique, that we're all alone, that no one will understand. You know, pornography and lust addiction is probably actually the most prominent addiction that people struggle with. It's something that we have long needed, you know, we kind of hide from. It's a totally hard thing to even, you know, get the words out sometimes if we're unfamiliar. But I imagine that what they found is that they're not alone, and that the process of, you know, each addiction, whether alcohol, drugs, food, lust, gambling, sex, technology, codependency, these are all different symptoms of the same spiritual malady. And so what we need to really do is get to the depth of that spiritual malady. And a lot of the process for those addictions is the same, whether a lust addict, a food addict, an alcoholic or drug addict, you know, isolation, fear, resentment. These are things that are fueling our attitudes and behaviors on a daily basis. And so the 12 steps do a really great job. And when combined with the sacraments and the grace that we receive from God through the sacraments and our united connection with Jesus Christ, that we get to the root of those things, that it's, you know, being honest and connecting with people, really in some ways even getting permission to heal those things, and recognize that we're not alone. There can be great power from that, and learning from the experience of others who have gone through a similar pathway is very helpful. In fact, many of our Catholic in Recovery meetings are general recovery meetings where we bring together people with a variety of addictions, compulsions, and unhealthy attachments, which I've listed several times. And what we find is the great similarities, not that we're all that unique, but really we're similar in so many ways. One might reach for food, one drugs, one alcohol, one lust, but the process is very similar. And so, you know, it's like there are some recovery programs or some addictions are almost okay to have, but others are a little bit more taboo. And so we try to break that down, break down that stigma, and realize that the solution is really all the same. It's also helpful, too, because, you know, someone with an addiction of one kind might find sobriety from that addiction, but replace the behavior not with a spiritual solution, but by engaging in another addictive behavior, which might still, you know, kind of fuel the same the same kind of feel-good feeling.